we're in the middle of our series called Getting Out of Our Comfort Zone. How many are getting out of your comfort zone? Anybody here can raise your hand and say, Pastor, God's challenging me to get out of my comfort zone. Anybody? All right. Several hands. How many say that you're not out of your comfort zone? Now, some of you either raise your hand for one or the other. It's either we're getting out or we're not getting out. Maybe we need to make some true and false questions. I don't know if we can do this or not. How many know that God is calling us to get out of our comfort zone? As Christians, that He is calling us. That yes, we have this place of comfort in Him. It's a place of peace and it's a place of security in Him that we do have that. If you're here today and your mind is in turmoil and you need peace in your life, you're in the right spot. Because a relationship with Jesus Christ brings security in Him. It brings a peace in Him. It brings a joy in Him that you do not have. But He hasn't called us to live right here. He has not called us to stay, to live right here in this place of just saying, all right, God, it's all about comfort in you. No, He says, I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves. And He's sending us out. There's a place and a time that God says, I want you to live on the edge. And today I want to talk to you more about this living on the edge. And I talk about learning to take risks. Learning to take risks. What's the one emotion that we all feel when we talk about taking a risk? What's the one emotion what's the one emotion that comes along with that? Fear. That's correct. Fear. When we talk about taking a risk, it seems like fear immediately grips our heart, doesn't it? That if we're talking about doing something that's kind of a risk that we haven't done before, and we know that make us feel a little uncomfortable, immediately what happens before we do it, fear will try to grip you. But how many know that God has not given us a spirit of fear? How many days is there in a week? 7, okay? How many days is there in a year? 365. How many times does it say not to fear in the Bible? 365. Wow. Coincidence? I think not. That we see that God has not given us a spirit of fear, and that every day He has commanded us, we are not to walk in fear. So even though I'm leaving my place of comfort, it doesn't mean I have to walk in a spirit of fear. But we're learning to take a risk. It means you're learning to handle the fears that come along associated with that. But today I want to talk to you about a very specific fear, a fear that keeps us from all the opportunities that God has for us. That God brings up these God-sized opportunities in our life. That God brings God-sized and God-appointed opportunities in our life every day. That if we're not careful, that fear will keep us from seizing those opportunities. That fear will keep us from doing the things that God has called us to do. We're afraid, and many times we're afraid to take these risks. Every time that you grab onto an opportunity that God lays before you, what are you doing? You're taking a risk and you're allowing yourself to grow through the Holy Spirit. That God is using that risk that you're taking for Him. He's using that to build your faith. He's using that to reshape you and to mold you into the person that He's called you and I to be. And when I step out and do things that facing my fears and doing risks that He's asked me to take, I am being shaped through the Holy Spirit. That He is, sometimes there's a lot of things He asks us to do that are scary, aren't they? So a lot of times He wants us to do things that are scary to us because they're against our human nature. They're against the way that we naturally want to be. And so when I step out and say, God, I'm fearful of this, but anyways, I'm going to do it anyway because I know You've called me to do it. I'm facing my fears. I'm saying, God, I trust You. I trust You more than my fear. I trust You more than the emotions that want to tell me to sit back down in my comfort zone. And so God uses this to shape me through His Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what. I fear a lot of things. You know that? I fear a lot of things. And in my life, I fear a lot of things. And in my life, I have things that I fear. Do you have things that you fear in your life? You know what? I can be fearful of heights. Anybody here can relate to me and say you're fearful of heights? Anybody had that problem? You know, I didn't used to be, but it seems like the older I get, the more fearful of heights I am. So even when we was in this building, as we were painting the ceiling, you know, I knew that I had to get up there and I had to paint some on the ceiling. Even though, how many know that being on top of the scaffolding with no rails is not a good place for a person who's scared of heights? But I knew there's only one way for me to do this, and that was to get up there and face my fear.
And so there's hardly anybody in the building. I jump up there and I start painting. And now these other guys, they get up there on top of that, they have no fear. I mean, they're just painting the ceiling. But when I paint the ceiling, I start off on my knees, just like it's right here. And I'm hanging on to the side, you know. And as I stand up, I'm hanging on to something, you know, and I'm in the very middle, not on the edge, and I'm shaking. And I'm doing this right here. But the more I did it, the more comfortable I got. And how many know that we've got to learn to face our fears? And I wanted to do that. Now, I painted one square, and I got right back down. All right, I did it. That's good. That's good. I'm done, okay? I faced my fears. And it wasn't too long after that one of our guys that was working and stepped off the top of it and fell off. And so, I mean, I was like, that's why I'm not up there, right there. Facing your fears. I had someone one time, I had a group of people talk me into climbing up we was on top of a 12, 15-foot ladder hanging up a big banner at a youth camp. And my youth staff talked me into hanging this banner up. And I said, I'm scared of heights. We'll hold you. We'll hold the ladder. So I put my trust in them. All right, they can't see their fearless leader who's too scared to get up there. And so I climb this ladder, and I'm hanging up the banner. And pretty soon, the ladder's not under me no more. They let the ladder slip. Yes, I fall down, and I've got cuts and bruises all over my face. I'm sore. You know, I'm just thankful that I was in one piece, you know. I was like, that's why I do not climb ladders, because I just don't trust them. But there's times in my life I have to do that. I have to face my fears. So all of us have different fears. And I'm not just talking about things you're scared of, you know. And there's people who are scared of everything. I mean, you name it, there's a people who've got a phobia and they're scared of those things. Maybe you've seen some of those videos on the internet of people who've had to face their fears. I mean, they're just funny. People afraid of peaches, pickles. I mean, people who are afraid of Jell-O. Talking about running and screaming and crying. I mean, listen, people, you know, we are afraid of things. Fear is a natural thing that we have in our life, and especially when it comes to taking the risk, that many times the fear will grip us. And I have a fear also sometimes, believe it or not, sometimes I have a fear of talking to strangers. You ever have that fear? I have a fear of talking to strangers. You, Pastor Gene, you know, it's really easy for me to preach to hundreds of people. That's a very easy thing for me to do. But it's harder for me to talk to one stranger than it is to talk to 1,000 people. I mean, the more people, the better for me. I can talk, man. I can preach. But when I get one-on-one with somebody who's a stranger, fear will grip my heart. Fear many times will come, and I'll get scared. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, and it's a fear that I've had to work on through time. It's a fear that I've had to confront in my life because I know that God wants me to. I know that God wants me to share his love with people. I know God wants me to invite people to church. I know God wants me to get to know who they are. And to do that many times, I've got to initiate the conversation. And to do that, that's a scary thing for me because I am sometimes fearful of that. But I have learned to face that. And even though it's not easy for me now, it is easier. And if I just will open my mouth and begin to take that first step of getting past my fear and take a risk, stepping out and initiating a conversation, it seems like after that it goes so much easier. But it's just that initial confrontation where I say, hey, what's your name? Or, hey, where do you go to church? Or, you know, hey, let me invite you to this. It's just that initial, hey, getting out there, you know. But once I get it out there and I begin to face my fear and God begins to use what I'm saying, and he brings an element of comfort to that I'm able to do that in a place. But it means I have to get out of my comfort zone to do that, facing our fears. So fears that we're facing. All of us have fears that we're working through. Let's ask you this. What's the mirror look like for you? What's the fears that you have in your life? What are the fears that if you were honest today and say, Pastor, I'm afraid of these things? Let's be honest. Let me ask this question. What's the steps you are afraid to take that result in the death and closeness to God? What are the steps you are afraid to take that would result in the death or closeness to God? What's the very thing that you know if you were to take that risk and go after it, that God would use that thing to change who you are? What's the one thing that maybe God's asking you to do, to give up, or to just to get past your fear and your pride and to do it? And you know if you did it that you would grow closer to God, but you're so fearful of giving that thing up, you're so fearful of confronting that thing head on, you're so fearful of actually just doing it that it stops you from doing it. But you know that if you did it, you would go closer to God. That all of us have these things, and this is a question I'm asking this morning that I want you to ask yourself. What are these things that are holding me back? but I'm afraid to give up. I was making up a little list of maybe some things that we are fearful of. Maybe you're afraid to join a small group. There's a lot of people who are afraid to join a small group. They're afraid that if I get involved in a small group Bible study on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night or one of the classes, that something's going to happen. I'm going to be fearful, and I'm going to lose what I'm going to be asked to do something. I'm going to be asked to, you know, I'm going to confront something in my life. I'm going to be asked to do something that I don't want to do. And many times we get so fearful of just joining a small group because they feel like the spotlight's going to be upon me. I'm going to have to meet somebody new. I got to talk to somebody new. And how many know that if we'll just get into the group, that God will use that to break down walls in your life? He'll use that to help you grow spiritually, and that we need that. And the Bible supports that 100%. I'm not teaching about that today, but we have a fear about doing that. But it's something that God wants to do when we get involved in a small group. Maybe it's a fear of not a small group, but maybe it's a fear of to work with people in the church. I'm afraid to work with people in the church because something may happen. I know they need children's workers. I know they need preschool workers. But I'm afraid if I work in a preschool that one of them's going to cough and I'm going to get a cold and I'm going to take it home to my family. And I just can't take that fear. Well, I've got a fear that if I go and teach that preschool class and I'm around kids all week, I'm around kids, and it just may set me over the top, Pastor. I come to church to get away from kids. And I got a fear. You know, what are the fears? So, you know, being involved with people. What are the fears if I'm asked to come and greet? That if I shake hands, somebody may get germs in my hands, and I may catch something, or I may have to say hi to somebody. You know, we have these fears that we have of working with people many times. Maybe some of you have a fear of talking to people about Jesus. Maybe you have a fear of talking to family members or close friends about what God's done in your life. And the fear is not necessarily talking about Jesus, but the fear is what would they think? Isn't that true? The fear is not what talking about them, because we talk to them every day about sports, about, you know, our kids, our family, our work. We talk to them about everything else, but we have a fear about bringing up our faith because we're afraid of what they may think about us. We're afraid about how they may judge us, or we're afraid that they may ask me a question that I can't answer, and so I look weak in my faith to them. I look like I can't defend myself. And so we have all this fear that comes and grips us from just sharing Jesus with other people. Maybe you have a fear of other things. Maybe you have a fear of being pushed out of your comfort zone. Maybe you have a fear of being pushed out of your comfort zone today. Well, Pastor, if I get out of my comfort zone, God's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Duh! That's the whole gist of it, man. That's the whole purpose, that if we get out of our comfort zone, God's going to ask us to do something. And that's what it means to get out of the comfort zone, is I don't necessarily always want to do it. And so we have a fear. I know I need to be right there, Pastor, but I like it right here. I like it right here, and I really like it like this, you know. And I even like it like this better, you know. But man, don't ask me to get out of here, because I'm a fear if I get out of here that God's going to ask me to do something and I'm going to have to do it, because I got to be obedient because he's God. And so we have this fear of getting out of our comfort zone. You know, if I get out of my comfort zone, God's going to, I don't know, I'm just going to end up in Zimbabwe, Africa one of these days preaching the gospel, man. Well, let's just get out of your comfort zone and share the gospel with your family, okay, with your neighbor, and then we'll worry about Zimbabwe, Africa down the road, okay. Just get out and let God use you. Sometimes we have a fear of being used of God. We have a fear of getting out of our comfort zone. We have a fear of maybe doing a lot of things. We have a fear of being baptized. How many have a fear of being baptized? Pastor, I know I need to be baptized, but I don't like getting my hair wet in public. You laugh, but I've heard that a lot of times. I know I need to be baptized, but I just don't like having a wet head, you know, in public, you know. I work all this time on my hairdo. We have a fear of what people are going to look like, what we look like in front of people if we're baptized. See how we allow our fears to keep us from doing the thing God's asked us to do? It's the very simple, basic thing of being baptized that he's asked us to do. He says, I want you to be baptized. I want you to identify with my burial and resurrection and who I am. He's asked us and commanded us to be baptized, but we'll allow fear to grip us from doing those commands. I mean, all of us have fears. I'm just mentioning a few here today. All of us have fears that when we know that God's asked us to take risk in our life, that we want to do it, but it's always that but. It's always but. I'm scared of doing it. It's a long list of things. And so today, if you're afraid of something, maybe something I mentioned or something else, can you just raise your hand? Raise your right hand. I want you to raise your right hand. If you're afraid of anything, can you raise your right hand? Repeat after me and say, I am as scared as Pastor Gene. All right, you put your hand down. What are we saying? We all have fears, okay? I'm not Superman up here. I have fears in my life. You have fears in your life. That we have things we got to work through, and we got to break through. It's a common thing. But when you're going to get out of your comfort zone, if you're going to grow in God, if you're going to see God do something great in your life, if you're going to seize the opportunity that God has for you, it's going to mean that you're going to face your fears. We're good about telling our kids to do that, aren't we? Oh, let's don't go there. If my kid comes in and some bully's been picking on him, I ain't going to school. Well, you're going to get back there tomorrow and you're going to go and you're going to tell that guy. Take your brother with you, but you're going to tell that guy. And if anything happens, you're all going to jump on him, but you're going to go back and you're going to face your fears. You fall off the bike, I pick him up and I hug him and I clean him off and I get back up. You can do it. You're not, I don't want to ride the bike no more. I don't want to ride it. I hurt my knee. It hurts. You can do it. You can do it. And we help them and they get along. Oh, see, aren't you glad? We push them along and start riding. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You're like, yes. Aren't you glad you faced your fears? Aren't you glad you went back to school? Aren't you glad you went back out for the team practice the next day? Aren't you glad you wouldn't face that bully? Aren't you glad? But when it comes to us, we want our kids to face their fears because we know it's good for them. But when it comes to us, we don't want to face our fears, do we? I can't ride that bike. God, I know God wants to use me, but I'm afraid. God, I know you want me to share your love with somebody, but I'm afraid. God, I know you want me to invite somebody to church, but I'm afraid. Maybe we should call your kids to come beside you and say, get out and face your fears. Maybe we should have them repeat what we tell them. That God is calling us to take risks and to face our fears. We're all on the same team here. We all have fears. We're all going through this in our life. And today, I just want to use an example of Peter. Man, I think Peter was a guy who had to face his fears. I want us to look in Scripture, especially in Acts chapter 2 and 3 here, and see where Peter had to face his fears and do some things for God. Let's see the reaction that Peter gets here. We're talking about Peter and John in this verse in Acts chapter 3. Even though Peter's the star we're talking about today, let's look at him and see what he says here. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, and Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer. As they went to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was there being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, let's just stop right there a second. Let's set the scene up. Here's the temple. Peter and John are going into the temple to worship. And here's the beggar. And so you think about this. What a great scenario. A man who's lame, who's begging for money, for people to help him out. What better place than in front of the temple, right? He's probably been in front of Walmart. He's probably been in front of the mall, and no one's given him anything. I spent all my money, guy. I'm broke. Sorry. You know, sorry. So he figures, at least if I go down here to the temple, some Christian may feel guilty going in the way to church and think, I better give this guy some money. It's kind of like, reminds me of San Francisco. If you've ever been down there, downtown, Union Square, my wife and I, we like to visit there. We have family out there, and we like to go visit and hang out by the ocean there and just have a good time. It's a good place to relax. But one of the most amazing things to me there is you see so many places you go that you actually have to step over people begging many times to get into a place you're going, whether it's a place to eat or a place to shop or just walking around, that there's beggars, you know, and there's a church down there called the Hot Dog Church. You ever heard of the Hot Dog Church? They've had several national articles written about them, but they go down there, and I mean, they feed them hot dogs and love on these people on the streets, and they're always walking around. And I was down there, you know, and this guy, they were bringing in a new hot dog worker. And they had these two guys who are pros, and they were bringing in a guy who had never done it before. And I could see them. I was watching. I was drinking my Starbucks, sitting out there on the corner, watching people walk by, you know, just relaxing and observing. And this guy's from the hot dog church come in. They have a new guy. He's the rookie. It's his first night out. And so they're like, go invite these people to come eat hot dogs and tell them we're going to tell them about Jesus and all this stuff. And they start pushing them, you know. Him? Yeah. Him? Well, he's, you know. And he starts getting a little closer to him, and the guy's he's like a deer in headlights, you know. He gets closer to this guy on the street. And pretty soon this guy on the street goes, hey, they're after me. They're after me. Woo-hoo-hoo! takes off jumping and hollering, you know, and hallucinating. And this guy's like, oh, you know, and he's like, I can't do this. And they're like, yeah, you can do it. Go to, you know. And so they're pushing this guy through his fears to get out there and talk and invite this guy. It's kind of the scene that I see here. It's and the same thing happening here at the temple gate, where we have people who are just begging for money, who are lame, they can't work, and so they figure out, if I can hang out at least at the temple gate, I have a better chance of getting somebody to give to me. And so I'm sure this guy had gotten all the excuses there is in the book. He'd heard all the excuses. Let's continue to read what it says here. He's thinking, you know what, I have a better chance of getting help outside the temple gate than I do at the Jerusalem 7-Eleven. So let's go here. Let's keep reading. In verse 3 it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked him for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And indeed, Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. Now, as I told you before, I have a tendency to put myself right there. When I read the Bible, and I challenge you to do this, when you read the Bible, have a tendency to put yourself right there. How would you respond if you were the lame man? How would you respond if you were Peter? How would you respond if you were just watching this scenario happen? As I think about this, I think about what this man think that when Peter said, hey, listen, guy, I don't have any money, but... I'm sure when he said the word but, that he was probably thinking, all right, here it goes. Another excuse, you know. But this guy back here, he'll help you out. But if you, you know, if you come after church and meet me out here, I'll bring you a burger. But, you know, all these things. I'm sure as soon as Peter went, I don't have any money, but the guy began to mentally check out. He was thinking, all right, here comes the good excuse. He didn't do that. We see this happening, but I mean, I believe he did. And he's thinking in his mind, a million times I've heard this excuse. All right, you're not going to give me anything. Just go on. And we see this Peter took advantage of a God opportunity. Peter had a God opportunity. He felt in his heart the Holy Spirit give him the unction to say, you know what, I don't have any money, but I tell you what I do have. Silver and gold do I have not, but such as I have I give to thee. What did he have? He had the power of the healing Almighty God in his life. He had the power of the Holy Spirit alive and working in his life. And he said, get up and walk. I mean, you talk about faith, you talk about taking risk. Can you imagine if he'd have picked that guy up and said that, and the guy would have been dragged across the parking lot, you know? All right, we got some false prophets here. Get these guys out of here, you know? I mean, you're talking about really setting the stage for what God wanted to do in the area. Either God was going to use this miracle to spread his gospel, or Peter was going to fall on his face, and he's going to lose credibility. I mean, this is a big risk, okay? This is a very huge risk. And Peter does it. He's obedient. He seizes the God opportunity in his life. And he does what God is asking him to do in his heart. His life was changed. And we see immediately following this, it says that this man went and he danced and he was shouting and screaming what God had done in his life. And it drew a crowd. And we see what happens here where when God does something in people's life that often so much is used for his glory because one person takes a risk. Change lives draw crowds. When people's lives are changed, they draw a crowd. So I look out across today, I see a lot of lives have been changed. I see a lot of people, your life's been changed, and you've brought people with you because of the work that God has done in your life. We've got to learn to seize the God opportunities. In verse 12 in Acts 3, we see this. Let's skip down to this part, and it says, Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. Now here it is. We saw the crowd. Look at what it says here. He saw his opportunity. Isn't that a cool verse? I like this verse. It says, Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. He says, people of Israel, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? What was he saying? He was saying this. He says, man, first of all, says Peter saw the crowd, and he took an opportunity. So many times in our life, we see opportunities, but we do not take advantage of it. But we see where Peter saw an opportunity and he seized the moment. He saw an opportunity where this man was healed. This man drew a crowd, and Peter could just step back and say, yeah, God gets all the glory. I think I'll just sit back here. But he steps up and he says this. He says, do you guys think we healed him? No, it wasn't a power that we had. It was a power of God in our life. It was a power of God that's working in our life. And the same power that works in my life can work in your life. He gave God the glory, and the multitude and the crowd was touched through the words of Peter, stepping out and seizing the opportunity. He sees his opportunity, then he seizes his opportunity. Where can I risk and to seize opportunities? What are the opportunities in my life? What are the opportunities that we have every day in our life that we need to learn to seize these opportunities? What are the things that God is bringing us to that we can seize these opportunities? We can identify them and face our fear and take a risk. And let me tell you this, that every time you take a risk, though, that there's a cost that's involved. That when you take a risk, I don't want to just paint you this big, pretty picture that, yeah, you take a risk and it's all going to work out for good. It's not going to cost you anything. Because if we keep reading, see, look what it says here. We keep reading in chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to him. And they were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that they were resurrecting the dead, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they jailed them until morning. I mean, here he is talking to the crowd again, and he gets arrested and put in jail. I mean, it's not always easy. And I want to show you the balance of this. It's not always going to be just, you know, when you take a risk, it's not always going to work out the way you want it. And sometimes when you take a risk, it's going to cost you more than you wanted. Sometimes you're going to have people talk about you. Sometimes you're going to have people reject you. Sometimes you're going to have people do things that you don't like when you take a risk. It's all part of facing your fear. And it's going to happen sometimes in your life. Here's the irony of this. The man who was lame walks, and the man who's healthy is sitting in jail. What an irony. The man who lame walks, and the man who's healthy is sitting in jail. And so there's a risk involved in setting someone free. There's a risk involved in sharing a God opportunity and seizing the God opportunity. Sometimes it's going to be a risk of your reputation, of a relationship. It may cost you money. It may cost you some things. And look what it says here. Let's continue to follow the story. It says, the next morning, Peter is pulled out in front of all these people. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this. And Peter, by whose power did you heal that guy yesterday? Peter, by whose power did you heal that guy yesterday? They asked this question to Peter. Peter, what power did you heal this guy? They were asking him this question. And look at this verse, this next verse. Look what it says. And then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, leaders and elders of our nation. I want to stop right there because this is the main point I want you to get. It says, then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, leaders and elders of our nation. Now here we go. He spends the night in jail because he takes a risk and fear. He faces the fear. He takes a risk. A man is set free, and the man who took the risk is put in jail. Okay? So many of us there would be like, all right, God, I did it, but you know, no more. I want to spend the night in jail again. And then he gets out, and what happens? They take him out of jail, and they ask him in front of the whole court, hey, Peter, by whose authority are you healing? And it says this, and Peter said this, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, leaders and elders of our nation. And he goes on to talk about the salvation of who God is and the power that God has in his life. I mean, what an awesome testimony. He was able to seize another opportunity to share that, hey, I didn't do this. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in me that God's power did this. And I think this is very key because we've got to realize that when we face our fears, it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in our life. If you want to face your fear, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life every day. That you got to say, God, I allow your Spirit. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am accepting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is alive in me, and I've got to allow His Spirit to fill me every day. He has called us to walk in His Spirit every day. I've got to allow the Spirit to begin to overflow and lead my life and to guide my life and pray. That's why when I get together, we raise our hands and say, God, let your Spirit fill me today. Every day, that should be my prayer. God, let your Spirit fill me today. May your Spirit be leading me and empowering me, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to seize an opportunity. That's the only way I'm going to be able to face my fears. It's not through my own power. It's not through anything I can do, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that's alive in me, that gives me life, that gives me boldness, that gives me strength, that helps me face my fear, that I can take a risk and do something for God, to seize my opportunity. We got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a GPS system in your car. Some of you have that have a new car, you have a GPS system. I can remember when I rented my first car that I rented had a GPS system in it. I was renting the car for a trip somewhere. And I thought it was so neat to have this GPS system, so I turned it on. Everywhere I go, I'd push in the button, you know where I was going, and it would tell me, turn left, right here, turn right, right here, stop approaching your street. You know, this talks to you. I'm like, this is so neat, man. This satellite's talking to me in my car. Sure enough, there is my right turn. This is so neat. But, you know, after a while, I got tired of doing that because I got tired of hearing that voice. After a while, I got tired of hearing that strange lady's voice, you know, telling me how to drive. No correlation there, so don't go there. But anyway, I better come over here as a person. I got tired of that lady's voice coming over the satellite telling me how to drive my car. You know, but the same thing happens in our life that many times the Holy Spirit is there and is speaking to us. We have a GPS system. It's called the Holy Spirit. If we allow Him to speak to us, He will direct us. He will tell you where the God opportunities are. He'll tell you where you need to seize your moment of opportunity. But what happens is we get so much like our natural life, we get tired of listening. We get tired of hearing that we ignore it. We ignore it. And walking in the Spirit doesn't mean that you ignore His Holy Spirit. It means that I open up my life to God, allow your Holy Spirit, allow that GPS system of your Holy Spirit to guide me and to lead me where you're taking me, that I can seize the God opportunity in my life. We're looking at Peter. What do we see? We see a guy who saw opportunities. He took a risk. He had paid a price. God used him to change a life. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in his life. Now I want to go to you. What does this look like for you today? The big picture, the big goal. I want you to remember these things today. I want you to remember this. I want you to see opportunities. You got to see opportunities. You got to take risk, and you got to seize your opportunity. When I leave today, I got to pray the Holy Spirit empowers me to see opportunities that are out there. There are opportunities everywhere. There are opportunities everywhere. When we walk out today, there's going to be opportunities everywhere we go to share the gospel. And when to do that, though, it's going to mean me taking a risk. I step out and I take a risk and I face my fear. I face my fear of being rejected. I face my fear of what am I going to say? How do I talk to a stranger? And what is hard about the word stranger, talking to them? I think it comes to the very grip of the root of the word stranger is the root of the word strange. It's a strange feeling to talk to a stranger. It's not something I always want to do. Now, some of you here, you have that gift, and you can just do it, man. Some of you here, very few of you, but some of you here, you can talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere, for as long as you wanted to go. Some of you have the gift of gab, okay? You can gab with anybody. But for many people here, it's a lot of fear when it comes to talking to people for the first time and just letting them know, hey, we got a kids' fest going on. Why don't you bring your kids down Wednesday night? You know what? Were you going to church anywhere? Let me invite you to my church. Hey, why don't you come to my Bible study in my home? Hey, why don't you come? There's a lot of things we want to do. Let me tell you about what God's done in my life. There's a lot of fears we have we got to face. So I want you to learn to see opportunities. It starts right there. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We talked about Jesus walking through Jericho, that he saw Zacchaeus. You know, we got to learn to see the opportunities. If there are opportunities facing us every day, we got to pray that God would help us see them. And I will tell you, my biggest excuse is this, okay? This is my crutch. My biggest crutch is this. I say, God, when I'm out in public, you know, I deal with church people all the time, you know, we're doing this and that. And sometimes when I get in public, I just want to fit in, you know? I don't want to have to talk to anybody, you know, because I just want to veg out. That's my big thing. I just want to veg out, you know? I don't want to talk to anybody. Sometimes I have that feeling. But you know what I'm really doing? I'm hiding behind my fear. It's not that I feel that way. The fear is I don't want to have to be out there and still have to tell somebody just like you need to. Oh, it's easy to get up here because I'm not fearful. But when I leave here and I'm one-on-one, I'm just like you. And sometimes I'm fearful. And I've got to face my fear and I've got to quit hiding behind my insecurities and and take a risk for who God is in my life and take a risk and do something. So first of all, I've got to see the opportunity. I've got to take a risk. And then when I take a risk, I'm going to learn to seize the opportunity that God has given to me. To face my personal fears, in closing, I want to give this to you. To face my personal fears and to take a risk. This is what I need to do to take my risk. I need to identify my personal fear. Identify my personal fear. If you name it, if you determine what you're fearful of, suddenly it shrinks. You know that? When I can admit that I have a fear, that fear shrinks. And first of all, the first step is just admitting to I have a fear. So for me to stand up here in the midst of these things to you this morning, yes, I'm being transparent, and yes, maybe there's a risk involved in that. You think, oh, Pastor, I can't believe you're not an evangelist 24-7. You're just not out there sharing God, and you're not. There's a risk involved. I'm transparent in saying, you know what, I can have fear just like you. But also, it keeps me accountable. So I know that I'm admitting my fear to you, and when I step out and do that, I know that I'm living when I'm preaching. Oh, wow. Isn't that good? Okay, so I admit I have fears, and we got to learn to admit that we have fears in our life. We got to learn to admit, what are the fears that you have in your life? I learn to identify them, because when I identify them, I'm saying, you know what, I have it. And so automatically I begin to shrink that fear, because I'm identifying it and saying I have it. I'm admitting to somebody. So find somebody. Admit your fear to, maybe in a small group or your spouse, or, you know, some of you, your spouse doesn't even know some of the fears you have. You've been such a Mr. Macho Man, or you've been Miss Homemaker, and you have it all together. You haven't admitted some of your fears to even your spouse. Identify to somebody. You know, tell your fears. Identify your fears. Second thing is confess your fear to somebody. Confess it to somebody. You identify it. Then confess it to somebody. Find somebody to confess it to. Confess it to that spouse. And the third thing is this. I want to encourage you, just take a risk. Just take a risk, okay? When it comes to facing those fears, you're going to have to take a risk. So if you're fearful of it, I just push you and encourage you. Take a risk. Get back on your bicycle and let the Holy Spirit push you and teach you how to ride that bicycle, okay? Face your fears. Take a risk. Take just one risk. And as soon as you do it, immediately after, take another risk. And when you do that, I guarantee you it will shrink that fear in your life. It will help you say, you know what, I can do this. Yeah, I can do it. I just did it there. You know what? This is not such a bad thing. Maybe you had something good happen. Maybe it was something bad that happened. Maybe you was rejected. Maybe it didn't work the way you wanted to, but you realize, you know what? Even though I was rejected, it really wasn't that bad. And you know what I'm doing? I am learning to unlock and let the Holy Spirit be alive and work in my life. And when I listen, this is what happens. How many would like to hear God's voice every day in your life? Does anybody here want to say, you know what, Pastor, I want God speaking to me and directing me every day in my life? How many say, I wish I could hear his voice clearly? Let me give you a secret right here. This is a clear secret. You're going to learn to hear his voice clearly. When you act on what he tells you, he will tell you more. When I listen to my wife and I find out something and she knows I'm listening to her, she unlocks the cabinet. She tells me everything. Because she knows I'm interested in what she has to say. When I listen to the Holy Spirit and I act on what he's telling me, then he says, you know what? Here's somebody who's got an open heart. Here's somebody who's listening to my voice. Now, let me tell you something else. You've been praying about this. You've been asking for this answer. You've been asking for direction here. Let me just tell you what you need to do. And he whispers right into your heart because you are acting in obedience. But how many know when you talk to somebody and you talk to somebody and you talk to somebody and when they ignore you, how many know pretty soon you're going to quit talking to them, aren't you? Pretty soon you're going to quit giving them instruction. Sometimes you talk to your kids and you talk to your kids. You're going to hurt yourself if you do this. You're going to get in trouble if you do this. You can't do this. You're going to get burned. This is going to happen. And sometimes they're like, whatever, mom, dad. And what do? All right? I'm going to quit talking about it. Just going to let you face it. And they end up messing up on their own. They come back. Yeah, you're right. You know. But what happens is we get tired sometimes of talking because it listens to no instruction. But when we listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit and we take a risk and we act in obedience, we unlock the key for God to speak into your life even more. So you want to have God speak to you clearly and even more? Be obedient to what he's speaking to you right now. God, unlock this mystery to me. God, I need your direction on my job, my family, and this and that. And God's like, all right, but how about you just listen to me right now? Give the guy a bigger tip and tell him to come to church. Oh, but God, I need your answer over here on my family. God, I need the direction of what I need to do. God's like, just buy the guy's gas. Just invite the person to dinner. Just have him over to your house to watch the game. But God, I need to know the mystery of what. Start with being obedient to what he's speaking to you now. See the opportunities that he's putting before us. Face your fears. Take a risk and seize the opportunity and see what God doesn't do in your life. And the last thing here, and feel the pleasure of God in my risk. feel the pleasure of God in my risk. And what I mean by that is this, is that I know that when I am being obedient, that God is saying, there is my child. There's my child. Look at him. Look at him trying to ride that bike all by himself. Look at him trying to walk all by himself. Look at him getting his own clothes picked out for school. Look at him dressing himself. Look at him doing his homework without me telling him to do it. Look at him. He's turning that channel. He knows we don't watch that. Look at him. God takes pleasure. And I realize that when I'm taking risk and I'm facing my fears, that God takes pleasure in that. And God takes pleasure in it, and I'm pleasing the heart of God. And ultimately, that's what I want to do. And the most thing that happens when I take a risk and I face my fear is I'm being shaped and formed more and more like the image of who Christ is in my life. Let's bow our heads. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, man, you're talking about facing our fears, and we're talking about taking risk. That you can be honest, Pastor, maybe you're here today, and I've been afraid to raise my hand, that you've asked this question that I'm getting ready to ask, and the question is this, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here today, and I'm asking this question this morning. You're here, and you say, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The heads are bowed, no one's looking but me. But maybe you're here, and you've been here for a long time. You say, Pastor, I need to raise my hand. I'm afraid that if I raise my hand that you're going to think that this person has never accepted Jesus. I've been coming to church for a long time. I've allowed my fear to even keep me from raising my hand. Even though I wanted to do it, even though I know I need to do it, I've allowed my fear to stop me from raising my hand and saying that I just simply need to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins and to come into my heart today. I've never done that today, and today I want to do it. No one's looking at me. Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. My fear's not going to hold me back. Can you raise it high? No one's looking at me. Thank you. Thank you. You've been honest today. I knew that. Amen. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I've just been afraid of what someone might think. Raise it high. If you haven't raised your hand, you raise your high. I want to see. Person who raised your hand today, I want to thank you very much for raising your hand. Getting past that fear. You're making a great decision today. And we're all going to pray with you today as you raise your hand. I want you to repeat, let's all repeat after me. Can we do that? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I accept your love and I accept your forgiveness. Come into my life. I'm going to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, you know today that you're walking in a new grace. But it doesn't end here. We're called to be followers of who He is, to be a follower of Christ, to go after Him, to follow after Him. It's more than just praying a prayer. It's a lifestyle that I begin to change and say, God, I want to learn what it means to follow after the heart of God. Stay involved in church. Get plugged in with people who love you. We'll have a packet in the back for you today that has some what to do next, some things we need for you, a New Testament, some other things we want to give to you today. So make sure, Gene, make sure you're back at the back and give that to them at the very back of the sound room. Also closing today, if you're here as a pastor, as you're speaking today, I realize that God's asking me to take some risk in my life. And I want to just raise my hand and say, today when I leave here this week, I'm going to begin to pray that God lets me see opportunities and He helps me face my fear and take risks. If God's speaking to you today, can you just raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, thank you. Silver hands. Anybody else? That's me. I'm going to learn to take some risk. The Holy Spirit's pushing me today to do that. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to pray with you. As I said earlier, that this risk taking comes through what? It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me say this, that a week from Wednesday night, I'm starting a new study on Wednesday night, so I'm going to take us through, called Walking in the Spirit. If you want to know more about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of your life, be here on Wednesday nights. Starting a week from this Wednesday night, I'm going to be leading that study. I want to lead you through some Spirit-filled living, what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian and to live a Spirit-filled life, what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit's direction in our life. You need to come and be a part of that. It's going to change the way you live your life as you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. I'm going to pray for those who raised their hands today. I believe today it's a fresh is coming to you. There's a fresh boldness that's coming to you, a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit that's coming to you as you raise your hands today and say, Pastor, I want to face my fears. I want to seize the opportunity to take some risk that God's asking me to take. Can we just raise our hands one more time? Father, today we raise our hands to you. And God, I pray especially for those who said today they want to face their fears. That God, your Holy Spirit is empowering us, God, to step out, Lord, and to do things that are uncomfortable for us to do. That God, we're even fearful of it. God, we all have these fears in our life. But God, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can step out, God. It's through the power of your Holy Spirit we can step out and we can build relationships, that we can talk to people. We can give in a way we haven't given before. We can give of our life. We can give of our finances. We can give of who we are. We can give of relationships. And God, it means letting go of some things, getting out of our comfort zone, and God, and stepping out and taking a risk for you. But God, just as you empowered Peter and John, God, so shall the Holy Spirit empower those today who reach out and say, God, I want your Holy Spirit to empower me to seize upon opportunities. God, I pray right now, if every hand is raised, Lord, may the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit today begin to fill them, God, fresh and anew. That God, daily, your Holy Spirit begins to fill those lives, God, giving them, Father, the power to face those fears and to take a risk for you. And God, as we do that, we believe that God-sized opportunities are going to come. And God, people are going to be reached for you. And God, the gospel is going to be spread. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. Remember to take your chairs down where you're at, okay? If you can help us take those chairs down, stack those chairs up. We say, God bless you.